Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
Oh, we have so much to talk about from a big weekend of things going on, from the NFL draft to news around the country. It was a big, big weekend. We're going to jump right into it with the Chiefs draft and the news that Clark Hunt breaks that he's basically looking for a new stadium now. So all kinds of things to talk about on this episode of KKHI, brought to you as our welcoming sponsor today by Advantage Termite and Pest Control. The Wolcotts reached out to me this weekend and said, you know, I don't know if we've told you this, but it's mosquito season. The warmer temperatures are coming up, and right now is the time to get booked for mosquito treatments for your yard, as well as flea and tick treatments. Boy, this will help out your dog. We know you give your dog all kinds of cool stuff for fleas and ticks, but if the fleas and ticks aren't around, that's double coverage. They have programs for both at Advantage TPC. So it's time now to schedule your mosquito treatments and flea and tick as well. If you like to live outdoors on a back patio or a deck, you know how important this is. With all this rain we got this weekend, oh my, the mosquitoes are going to be something here as soon as it warms up. So make the call to Advantage Termite and Pest Control, 913-768-8989, AdvantageTPC.com. They're the experts in your backyard, controlling mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks outdoors. 913-768-8989, AdvantageTPC.com. Well, the Chiefs made an awful lot of news this weekend. So everywhere I went all weekend long, people were like, what'd you think of the Chiefs draft? And I said, I thought of the Chiefs draft what I thought of it before they drafted. It would be perfect. And it was perfect. I was, a couple of headlines. I was surprised that the Chiefs went ahead and got seven players. That surprised me. But if you go back now and look at Brett Veach's comments where he didn't think the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds were going to be filled with a lot of talent, you can see what the Chiefs did. They traded back. They had a couple of fourths. And I think they were playing the numbers game. I think what they're assuming is this is so thin now with so many players staying in college for NIL money. It's so thin that your chances of getting every selection right, which the Chiefs have done before, you know, they go out and draft six or seven players and they're all contributors very quickly. The chances of doing that are not very good. So I think they were thinking volume is better than quality, and they probably just didn't have the right spot to trade up and say, okay, if we move up 20 slots right now, boy, there's a player we really covet. That clearly didn't show itself. So they didn't do it. And they went ahead and took the seven selections. We talked about Worthy on Friday, and he's a tremendous fit for the Chiefs. Everybody can see this. The social media post by a Chiefs player of the weekend was Creed Humphrey, the Chiefs center, who posted a short little meme of two really big fat guys racing across a basketball court, and one of them just falls to the ground as he's running. And Creed Humphrey captioned underneath this, me trying to keep up with wide receiver screens this year. Between Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, it's going to be tough, those offensive linemen to hang on those screens, for sure. So Worthy, outstanding. Kingsley Suamataia, offensive tackle from BYU, is somebody the Chiefs had rated much higher than where they got him. I know they traded up only one spot to get him. It was a little strange to see that, but there must have been a reason, and I just don't question them. They're so good. I think there is a 95% chance these are both outstanding NFL players, Pro Bowl caliber players for a long period of time. Star players, big contracts, second contract guys, Worthy and Kingsley. I don't think there's any question. The third selection in round four, tight end Jared Wiley from TCU, is where it gets interesting. I don't ever remember a draft where the third Chiefs selection will have more pressure on him than the first or second selection. Like, Jared Wiley is the player in this draft Chiefs fans are gravitating toward, saying he's the next Travis Kelce. Now, let me put this bluntly. There is no chance Jared Wiley is the next Travis Kelce. No chance. And he could be really, really, really good. Folks, Travis Kelce is the greatest tight end in the history of professional football. And he will go to the Hall of Fame as such. Travis Kelce has already won three Super Bowls. So I'm going to say it. Jared Wiley isn't going to be Travis Kelce. He's not going to win three Super Bowls. It's very unlikely. It's unlikely that he plays as long and as healthy and as productive as Travis Kelce, because nobody's ever done that. This is the greatest tight end ever. Jared Wiley could be great. He could be Tony freaking Gonzalez, and we'd be thrilled, right? Travis Kelce, way better than Tony Gonzalez. That's hard to say, but it's true. This is the GOAT. So stop with the comparisons. Enough. Jared Wiley does not have to be Travis Kelce. If he can learn under Travis Kelce, and Kelce only has a year left, or two left, and Wiley becomes one of the top five tight ends in football, oh my God, we'll take that in a heartbeat. Wouldn't you take the fifth best tight end in Jared Wiley? That'd be great. So lower the expectation. Don't tell him he's got to be Travis Kelce. You've got Xavier Worthy. We've got Rashee Rice lined up and ready to go after he gets out of his suspension by the NFL or whatever. There are weapons everywhere. We can see the next generation of weapons for Patrick Mahomes. It's there. And it's good. It's fast. They complement one another. But stop with the Travis Kelce. I almost feel like it's weird for me to watch reaction from new media members, their website guys, their social media. Everybody's out there trying to scream louder from the mountaintop than everyone else. And all these young people covering sports are saying the same thing. Look at this piece of film. He looks just like Travis Kelce. He is Travis Kelce. He's going to add weight. This is Travis Kelce. He's not. He's not going to be. And if he is, it is a remarkable Powerball number the Chiefs just pulled out of the hopper. Honestly. They think he can be good. They do not expect him to be Travis Kelce. To put this into perspective, the Chiefs drafted Travis Kelce at, what, number 63 overall? They didn't expect Travis Kelce to be Travis Kelce. If the Chiefs knew that Travis Kelce was going to be the greatest tight end of all time, they would have drafted him in the first round. So no, stop with that. That's unfair to Jared Wiley, who I think has a chance to be a very good player. Round four, they go with the safety from Washington State, a versatile safety. He's a hard hitter. He can also cover tight ends. Looks like a really solid pick. Maybe not a Pro Bowl superstar, maybe not the best safety in football, but a guy that clearly can play. They go with a center in round five, which is where you pick a center. Penn State's not a bad place to look. That's where they did it. They get the corner, Kamal Hodden, from Tennessee in round six. He doesn't lack confidence. We'll see. That's fairly late to draft a corner. But he's a talented guy who played at the highest level in the SEC. You got to like his chances of being a guy that can at least be on the roster, maybe become a nickel corner or dime corner or something like that. And then the last pick, this is exactly what you do, guard C.J. Hansen from Holy Cross. That's exactly where you take a lineman, an interior lineman from Holy Cross. So we love what the Chiefs did. No reason to spend too much time on that. They addressed needs. They didn't get as many wide receivers as you'd think, but they got a pair of them. I think maybe a third one on Sunday that they signed undrafted free agents. So they're bringing in all kinds of wide receivers to look at, including a kid from Kansas State named Phillip Brooks. So they're going to look at a whole bunch of guys at wide receiver. They brought in a couple of other running backs. The Chiefs are doing this right. So if you're asking me how they drafted, A+. You simply can't grade the Chiefs any other way. And any person that thinks they know more about what the Chiefs did in the draft than the Chiefs, you're spitting into the wind. It's a complete waste of your time. And it was really impressive to watch all the media reaction, all the websites that grade teams and all this and that. Like everywhere I looked, they graded the Chiefs with an A. They've done the same as I've done. They've thrown in the towel. They've said, these people are so good, we're not giving them anything but an A. Because they've won three Super Bowls and they know what they're doing. The funniest part was all the online reaction to Xavier Worthy being the Chiefs draft pick. I mean, it's comical. What other people making fun of the Bills, short videos, you know, the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl again. It's just unbelievable. The entire country is going to just keep hating the Chiefs. And the reason why is things like this happen. Buffalo makes a trade. Xavier Worthy's in Kansas City. I think he's going to be a star from the start. I think he's a downfield threat. I think he doesn't get near the credit for his route running. If you see some of the, dude, he left cornerbacks laying on the ground at Texas from time to time with the sharp cuts and moves that he makes. This guy's going to be a player. He is going to be a player in this offense. It's going to be remarkable. But perhaps the biggest news of the weekend around the Chiefs was Clark Hunt, who meets with the media after the draft. They ask him about the players. He's like, yeah, this is fun. They're good. Everything's great. here we are. And then they asked him about the stadium. And he said, well, we feel a sense of urgency now. So when you saw the renderings of what they were going to do to Arrowhead, did you think there was any sense of urgency with the Chiefs? Well, the easy answer is no. There was no sense of urgency because the Chiefs, yeah, I made a crack on X that when you saw the stick man drawings of Arrowhead, you knew they weren't serious about a remodel, and they weren't. It was like a kid drawing stick man with a pencil. That's what the Chiefs remodel was at Arrowhead. There was nothing there. There was nothing to vote yes on. There was nothing at Arrowhead that was likable. There's not much else you can do with Arrowhead. Let's be honest. And so this thing failed, and I would not be surprised. I'm the only person that's going to say this. I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes, the Chiefs were actually working to fail the vote, because I think the Chiefs recognize going on their own away from the Royals is the thing to do. The Chiefs are their own entity, and they're 10 times more important to this city right now than the Kansas City Royals. So Clark Hunt called up John Sherman, and he told the media this over the weekend. I called him up. We're separating. We're no longer negotiating together. We're going our own ways with our own plans. That likely means the following. Neither will be at the Truman Sports Complex. The only likely scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs now to be at the Truman Sports Complex is the Royals get something done fast. The state does a deal to save the land away from the county or something like that, or in conjunction with the county. They raise Kauffman Stadium and build a brand new stadium right there. That's probably the only saving grace for the Truman Sports Complex. That's probably it. And I'd give that maybe a 1-in-3 shot. Kansas is going, it's open season. Clark Hunt has said so. It's open season for Kansas. The legends by the Speedway, the tax incentives they have with star bonds there, the money the state of Kansas would give them through sports gambling, all of the things that are in place in Kansas are enticing to the Chiefs with a brand new stadium. It undoubtedly would be a stadium that would have a roof that would close. I would hope it's not a typical dome where they just decide anytime it's 48 degrees to close the stadium like they do everywhere else, and it's louder when you close it. And that's, I do not want a sterile dome stadium. I want something where the closed roof is an option. It's an option when you're playing the Dolphins because it's 7 below. It's an option when you want to try to get a Final Four or a Super Bowl. But it's not an option in December when it's 42 degrees and drizzling. You leave it open and you play football. That's me. I'm not in charge, but that's me. Clark Hunt said, "We now feel a sense of urgency," which we certainly didn't see a couple of months ago in the sloppy renderings the Chiefs posted. He said, "When we started this, we had 9.5 years left on the lease. Now we have 6. So there is a, quote, sense of urgency." He said he were separating from the Royals, and he made it very clear a new stadium is what he's thinking. Going forward, quote, "it may make more sense for us to be in a new stadium," unquote. Now, is that definitively him saying we want a new stadium? No, it is not. But the man is shrewd. He is smart. The vote lost. Their Arrowhead paint job is not something anybody wants, and he's correct. It may make sense for us to be in a new stadium. The Chicago Bears are building a new one. He's a neighbor with Jerry Jones in Dallas. He has seen what is possible with what they built in Dallas. It is absolutely remarkable. Jerry World and Clark Hunt is his own man at this point. Let me state this for everyone to hear plainly. While Lamar Hunt was brilliant and founded the AFC and brought football to Kansas City and is a Hall of Famer and a legendary figure in professional football, his son Clark is 10 times the better owner than his dad. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. And it is time for him to make his mark on the Kansas City Chiefs and professional football and leave his dad in the dust. All due respect to his dad and his mom and his family. She's passed away. He is the man now. He is the Hunt family. He is the Kansas City Chiefs. Their legacy is cemented. His parents' legacy is cemented, and he knows that. He has won 3 Super Bowl trophies. This kid, he's my age. All right, this man now gets to do whatever the hell he wants. He's no longer the youngest guy in the league. You know, he used to be like, oh, this young owner in Kansas City. Well, it's worked. And he's probably going to live a long life and own this team for another 30 years. He gets to build his own stadium. And he's crazy if he doesn't use the state line in order to do that. Whether he winds up in Kansas or not doesn't matter. Leverage, leverage, leverage. We're free agents. He announced it this weekend. We're open to anywhere, Kansas or Missouri, and a new stadium is what we're thinking. Forget this painting Arrowhead crap. That's done. If the Royals can find a way to skedaddle, he might want to tear that down and build a stadium right there. I think we could see the logic in that. The historical significance. They'll tear the old Arrowhead down at some point. You know, they may make a monument there for his dad or his family or a shrine or build a Chiefs Hall of Fame or whatever they may build there. Could be a monument to his family if he stays right where he was. I think he'd probably like to stay at the Truman Sports Complex. I don't think it's the ideal location for football, but it's plenty good enough. Plenty good enough. Jerry Jones built his, and they've got an entertainment district around it. They've got all kinds of economic development, all kinds of stuff around it because of where he built it. That's not going to happen at the Truman Sports Complex. That's never happened there, and it's not going to. It simply isn't. There are other places in Kansas City where he could do that, and it's going to get very interesting. But it's abundantly clear to me now, Chiefs are thinking, it's two new stadiums is what it is. All things come to pass. We all bitched and moaned, oh, we love our airport. We love our three terminals. It's so convenient. Come on. The new airport's got all kinds of mistakes and flaws to it, and it's still better than the old airport by 1,000%. And if you park in that garage, you're actually closer than you were. Come on. Come on. New is better with these things. We know it is. It just flat out is, and that's where the Chiefs are going. It's pretty clear to me anyway. KKHI is brought to you by Window World, simply the best for less. Okay, it's that time of year. Spring is window season. It's been a long winter. They've frozen and melted and frozen and melted, and now it's raining cats and dogs. Anything related to your home right now, get it checked out. Buck Roofing needs to come look at your roof. After all these storms we had, many rural areas got ridiculously high winds. We saw tornadoes. Buck Roofing is ready for you, and Window World is ready for you. Call Window World right now if you've got window problems. 816-799-0820. Do not delay. Today is the day after all these storms. Make that call. You saw water. You see cracking and peeling. WindowsKansasCity.com. 816-799-0820 for Window World. Simply the best for less. Buck Roofing, as I mentioned, Buck Roofing and Construction. They're online at rbuckroofing.com. That's rbuckroofing.com. And you got to make the call today to Buck Roofing. If you've seen these storms come, or you know somebody who had some shingles flying off, some storm damage, some wind damage, today is the day. Monday is your day. Hopefully you're in a position where you're not devastated, you're still in your home, but you just want to make sure that it's okay and it's right. Ron Buck's the guy to call. 913-384-2680. That's 384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. McConnell & Associates, wherever you walk, park, or play, McConnell & Associates is there with you. This is a great business in Kansas City, based in Kansas City, but they're also in Wichita, St. Louis, all around the Midwest. Parking lots, tennis courts, sport courts, basketball courts, outdoors, pavement repairs, long driveways, churches, HOAs, municipalities. It's McConnell & Associates. You see their blue and yellow barricades all over town. They've done, if you've walked in Luce Park, you've walked on their trails. I was driving through, I mentioned a few weeks ago, through Falcon Valley near where I live. They redid all the roads and sidewalks and everything there. It's McConnell & Associates, but they can work for you too. Call Bart Dandler at 816-287-3330. That's 287-3330 for McConnell & Associates, or find them online at thekklist.com. Ooh, the Royals' offense disappeared over the weekend in an ugly fashion. They lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit, and it's on to Toronto, and Toronto can really pitch. As we know, the Royals was pretty amazing. They lost that first game to the Jays last week and won 3 in a row. This could be a bad road trip. I'm getting scared. They got to win a game in Toronto. So the Royals got to 17-10, I believe, on their 3-game winning streak. They lost 3. They won 3. They won 3, they won 4, they won 4 out of 5. They lost 3 in a row, then they won 3 in a row. Now they've lost 2 in a row. They're a little streaky here. It's because they don't hit every night. The way you avoid your season falling apart after a good start is you don't get swept. So they got a win in Detroit. You would have liked to have done better, but you didn't. That's okay. They faced the ace, Scoble, on Sunday. He was tremendous. You're going to Toronto. They've got unbelievable pitching. You got to find a way to win a game. I know that's a low bar, but you got to win one. You got to stave this off till you get back home, till the schedule gets easier, till your matchups are better. This is a tough stretch right now for the Royals. This is a tough stretch. They've played Baltimore a lot. Baltimore's excellent. That was balanced by playing Chicago a lot, who's really terrible. And you've seen them now against Toronto and Detroit, and they all look like pretty evenly matched teams. Don't get swept. Salvador Perez drew a walk in the ninth inning yesterday. That is the 18th consecutive game he's been on base. Salvador Perez, I'll be shocked if he's not the American League Player of the Month. He leads the American League in RBIs. He's been on base 18 straight times. He's a Gold Glove caliber catcher. Salvador Perez is a Hall of Famer. We're watching legend, and he's only 33, or is he turned 34 now? I mean, I think he's still got 5 years left to play. DH, first base, all that. Salvador Perez is a freak of nature, folks, and he's literally getting better like a fine wine. Unbelievable. Way to go, Salvi. I love Peter Vermes. We don't spend a lot of time talking about soccer on here. Peter Vermes is everything you love and respect. He is for self-reliance, accountability, no filter, no BS. He gives you the truth whether you like it or not. I have zero doubt that Peter Vermes is like a Trump voter. None. Zero. There are no Democrats out there like Peter Vermes. They don't exist. He's an alpha male. He's a tough guy. He's everything. There's no way. There's no way he's anything but a Trump guy. Zero chance. Sporting goes to Minnesota, and they lose 2-1. They played well. He set up the game because, gosh, we played well. They got down 2-0 and then outplayed Minnesota the rest of the way and lost 2-1. Vermes walks into his post-game news conference and is asked a question. Hey, the first question, your team hung in there and really battled hard, had a lot of chances to get this thing tied, or, you know, they didn't give up, down 2-0. And he's like, really? We shouldn't have been down 2-0. And he pulls out his iPad and he holds it up for all the cameras and the media to see. And he says, look at this. This is offsides. This goal should not have counted. This is the one that put him up 2-0. And he throws his iPad to the side, slams it on the table, said, this is so easy. It's so easy to see. This is completely unacceptable in Major League Soccer. He went off on the officials. And it got to a point where you thought he was going to curse. It was really going to be something, but he didn't. Like, it had a chance to be the most classic meltdown that would have gone viral and be on SportsCenter you've ever seen. This is the way to do it. You're not really saying anything, are you, if you're holding up an iPad with a picture? You're just giving it to the media. You're just showing it to the media. Look at this. That's clearly offsides. And it was. And it just begs the question. I am no expert on the replay rules in soccer or really in any sport because I just think it's all absurd. Why are there rules in replay? Combine coaches' challenge and timeouts together in any sport. This is a one-size-fits-all. Whatever you've determined with coaches' challenges and timeouts, combine them, and that's that. And make everything reviewable. Everything. Including a video shot of whether or not Minnesota's offsides as they scored a goal. But what? I'm not saying that's easy for officials to see. Vermes thinks it is, but I don't know. I have trouble with offsides in soccer and hockey. I can't see it like it's second nature to me. They can because they're the experts. Whatever. Slow it down and show it to the rest of us fans. Bring us in. Bring us in. Show me the frozen shot in the game. Let's have a replay. They're offside. They're offside. Everything should be reviewable. The way Vermes tells it, he saw it right away. He's like, oh my God, this is the worst non-call we've ever had. And it led to the goal. And he was miffed. That's the way to do it. Take your iPad into the news conference and show the media. That's just fantastic. Peter Vermes is, he's awesome. He's really great. In golf, we had quite a moment on Sunday. Rory McIlroy is the face of the PGA Tour. He's from Ireland. Shane Lowry's from Ireland. There was a partner event in New Orleans. It's a regular tour stop, but it's a team event. Rory gets to pick his own partner, so he gets countryman Shane Lowry, two Irishmen playing in this thing. They're the favorites. They go out. They win it, and they won it on the 73rd hole. There was a playoff. They tied, and there was a playoff, and they won. And it was great because you like to see Rory win. It's good for the PGA Tour, whatever. But that's not what everybody saw. What everybody's seeing is what happened after the match was over. After Rory and Shane Lowry win, they go to the hospitality area where a band is playing. They do their media, they do their interviews, and there's like, this has become tradition at golf tournaments. After the golf tournament's over, there's a party. There's a band playing. There's maybe, gosh, it looked to me like there might have been a couple thousand people at this thing. And the golf's over, and they're all in there partying, and they're drinking beers, and the band's playing, and it's all wild. And here comes Rory and Shane. And they get up on stage, and they got their jumbo bottles of Mick Ultra, and they're ready to drink with the crowd, and they're toasting them when the band leader hands Rory McIlroy the microphone. And is he going to give a speech? No, everybody's cheering. They're chanting, Rory, Rory, Rory. And the band starts to play. And the band starts playing Journey. And Rory McIlroy leads the entire group in Don't Stop Believin'. And it's unbelievable. You can't really hear him sing. And he's not a great singer. And I'm not going to play it for you here on this podcast. I'm not going to play it for you because it's really about the video. It's just loud mayhem. You can sort of hear the music. It wasn't the greatest sound system, whatever. But it was a great moment for golf. It was a great moment for Rory. He's just, there's nothing to not like about Rory McIlroy. And he stayed loyal to the PGA Tour, and he's good. They're starting to do things that the LIV Tour does. This is the kind of thing they do on LIV Tour. They have these big parties. The players go in there, and you know, they drink beer. They drink the post-game beer or champagne out of a shoe. They call it a boot shot. There's all kinds of weird. Cameron Smith, is he Australian? That's what they do in Australia. They drink out of a shoe. So they do that on LIV Tour. So now Rory's starting to do it. I'm cool with it. I'm anything that the fans love, anything that goes viral. Everybody's trying to create those viral moments, and this was it. So the PGA Tour is finding its footing on a couple of those things, and we're pleased to see that, I guess, in our own way. We're pleased to see the PGA Tour stepping up and doing some cool things. All right, on to the news of the day, and that is brought to you by Aspen Wealth Management. Is Aspen the place for you? I think it could be. I saw Tavis Holsinger this weekend at Falcon Ridge. I was hitting some balls. He played. He played out in a soggy golf course. Tavis is way more committed to his golf game than I am. I just went up and hit a couple balls off the artificial mats, which seemed like a reasonable thing to do when the weather cleared for about an hour. Anyway, Tavis and Trevor Holsinger at Aspen Wealth Management would love to work with you. And right now, they're offering any listener of KKHI a free financial checkup. That is, just come in, tell them what you're doing, tell them what you're making, tell them what your plan is, and they can advise you on what to do. That doesn't even mean you become a client of theirs. You don't have to invest with them. They're going to help you with a financial checkup. That's pretty cool. While you're there, you should ask about a dynamic smart portfolio or tactical asset allocation. These are all smart things long term. Or maybe you have a 401k or an IRA that you'd like to roll over. You worked somewhere else. Now you work at a new place and you haven't really rolled it over. Or maybe it doesn't belong in your new 401k. Maybe it needs to just be separate with Aspen Wealth. Not a bad idea. What's it hurt to make the call? It's free, and the consultation is free. Yes, I said free three times just then. AspenWealth.com or call 913-491-0500. That's 491-0500. Is Aspen the place for you? Aspen Wealth Management. Ideal Health KC, Dr. Kip Van Camp is going to be on the podcast very soon. I'm getting ready to set up an interview, Dr. Van Camp. You have sent in a few emails to me about things you'd like me to ask him about, not just regenerative medicine, but health in general. We're going to have a great discussion about the increase in cancer since the COVID vaccines were released. We got a lot to talk about with Dr. Van Camp. You can meet with him personally at idealhealthkc.com. That's 913-745-5300, 913-745-5300. Online at idealhealthkc.com. And Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. CrossKitchensKC.com, family owned and operated. Call Tim Cross today for a small remodel, countertops and cabinet refinishing, or a complete remodel of your kitchen, master bath, man cave. 816-898-7047. CrossKitchensKC.com. So I got a whole bunch of stories here that are kind of on an even plane when it comes to news. I don't have a major lead, but I'm going to start with this lead because it was so stunning to see. I got an email from a listener who's really been on this 5-year-old that got a hold of the gun laying around their house and played with it and shot himself and died. accidentally and no arrest being made of the parents. They released, and this is not what this is about, but this is how I initially, this person started emailing me about some crimes that are taking place that are head scratchers. So they finally released the pictures of the Plaza shooters. There was crossfire in the Plaza, on the Plaza a couple weeks ago at the Shake Shack. And a car got shot up and there was nobody in it. It was accidental. These people were shooting at each other. So they released the photos of the shooters. And I'd swear, if you put those four kids next to the four kids at the Chiefs shooting, it's the same four kids. It's not the same four kids, but they're kids. There might have been a couple of them over 18. Folks, we have been taught to be stupid. And here's what I mean by that. And I'm going to package this up in a moment with actual comedy and things that you can say in the world and being PC and political correctness. They're telling you what you can and can't do. And every single news story today, we're going to talk about the right thing to do or the politically correct thing to do, because each of these has a variant. So the right thing to do if you're living your life and you're out and about in Kansas City, Missouri, near gang territory, and you see black teenagers with hoods over their heads carrying backpacks, get the hell away. Now, you can call that racist. You can call that profiling. But I'd like to stay alive. I'm not saying this person's coming after me. I just don't want to be nearby when they start shooting at each other, because that's happening all the time. And it can be 80 degrees and they're still wearing hoodies, because it's harder to tell who they are. Sometimes they wear masks because COVID allowed that. I actually think we should have a mask ordinance now where you can't wear them in public. Because everybody that's doing a smash and grab at every jewelry store is wearing a mask, a surgical mask with a hood on or a stocking cap. Can't tell who I am. And who's even going to look twice at anybody walking down the street with a mask on? We don't. So I'll say it. The four people in the pictures that shot up the Plaza look just like the four people that were first shown that were the shooters at the Chiefs parade. It's the same profile. So the police can still profile. They can't pull you over for it. But what happens? The second a call is made, what are we looking for? Oh, we're looking for four young black males in hoodies. When the dispatch calls that out, is that racial? Or is that smart? Well, I think it's smart. And if you see a group of young black teens wearing hoodies with backpacks, and you're in Kansas City, Missouri, walk away. Walk away. That doesn't make you a racist. It does not. There's all kinds of people you would walk away from. If you saw a bunch of people in white gowns and hoods with torches walking on the Plaza, would you walk away from them? You would. Does that make you racist against white people? No. It makes you smart. Get away from the Klan. We got to learn to do this. We got to learn to say this. We got to learn to stand strong against what's politically correct and what's politically incorrect. Example number two. Sunday, Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump met. DeSantis called the Trump campaign a couple of weeks ago and said, we need to, quote, bury the hatchet. Can we get a meeting? They met in Miami, Trump and DeSantis. Let's make this perfectly clear. I don't understand the electorate well enough to know if this is the right thing to do to win or not, but I know that it's the right thing for America. The right thing for America is for Ron DeSantis to be Trump's VP, because it would be very easy to see how he could be president for 8 years after Trump. And that would be 12 years. He is the best candidate out there, not named Trump, and it's not close. It's not close. I love Vivek Ramaswamy. I love what he stands for. He does not have the record that Ron DeSantis has. Ron DeSantis has crushed it in Florida. He's been great. We know he can be president. We know he's conservative. We know he has donors and can raise money. The best choice for Donald Trump for vice president is Ron DeSantis. Now, if that's the best way to get elected or not, I don't know. But it would seem to me, if your real problem, if you're Donald Trump, is Republicans that don't want to vote for you, DeSantis is the answer, not Nikki Haley. Or just picking a woman to pick a woman. We got to get past that, and we have to lead the way. Like, we got to get past saying you're a racist because you see a 15-year-old kid with a hood over his head and a backpack on. That's not racist. Get away. Get away. That's not racist. We have to get past all this. We've allowed them to define what we can think, what we can say. We cannot allow these people to do this anymore. The right choice for vice president is Ron DeSantis. I don't think it will be DeSantis. I think Trump will do, and Trump's kind of a badass. He's a tough guy. He stands strong on a lot of stuff, but I'm going to guess there's some polling or something that says, if you pick a woman, it'll be good for you. It will soften you. It'll be good for this, whatever. But that doesn't make it the best choice now, does it? The best ticket by a mile is Trump DeSantis, and we can all see that. We'll see what this looks like. I'm sure they will campaign together. If Trump took the meeting, he's willing to bury the hatchet. So I think we're going to see him together on stage. That's inevitable. If they're meeting about this, they're going to do that. In politics, in your party, let bygones be bygones. DeSantis clearly sees Trump as his key to being president in 4 years. And Trump sees DeSantis as an ally that can raise millions and millions of dollars for him. There's no reason. I love this. Get it together. Get the party together and let's win this thing. And I've said all along, the dream scenario for me is Trump winning, because I think for 4 years he would burn Washington down like nobody else. Like, if DeSantis was there his first 4 years, he'd have to be guarded trying to get reelected. Trump would have to do that. The best possible outcome of any of this is Trump and DeSantis taking the White House. That's the best. That's the best way. You turn the economy around, you lower interest rates, stock market goes up, you close the border, we get out of wars, people watch for 4 years and go, yeah, I'm voting for DeSantis. And happily doing it, because now Trump is gone, because there are still people that don't like Trump. They like what he does, they just don't like him. Let's do this. Honest to goodness, let's do this. All right, and the third topic here about the political correctness going too far is, I got two clips I'm going to play for you, and these are both comedians. The first is Colin Jost at the correspondents' dinner this weekend, which is a joke. The White House correspondents have a dinner, and they get there, and the president sits there, Biden's there, and they can make fun of Biden all day long. This clip is everything. Colin Jost is Saturday Night Live. He gets up, and he makes jokes about Biden trying to go up the stairs of Air Force One, and says it's sort of like your economy. You know, it's stumbling, but I guess you are eventually going up. Then he makes teleprompter jokes. He makes jokes about the economy. I mean, he's just it's almost like a roast of Biden at this point. And they're all laughing. Everybody thinks it's funny. Oh, it's so funny. And then he gets to this gem. This is only 30 seconds long. This is Colin Jost, the president of the United States, 10 feet away, sitting at the dais. The entire audience is White House correspondents and the executives that run the TV networks and the newspaper, the powerful, self-important, self-indulgent people in media celebrating themselves at their White House correspondents' dinner. And at the beginning of this, the first joke is about the White House correspondents, and the last joke is about Biden. They don't much laugh at the beginning when the joke is on them, but they laugh at the end when it's on Biden. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Like many of you here tonight, I pretend to do news on TV. My weekend update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight, but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
Oh, no, they just couldn't laugh at themselves at the beginning, could they? Just couldn't do it. But all the Biden jokes, they'll laugh at those all day long. We literally have media in this country that believes it is above all else, that it is above the executive branch, it's above the Senate, it's above the House, it's above the Supreme Court. They believe they're above everyone. They are the most elite thinking people in America. And do not make jokes about the correspondence. No, that's not funny. But you can make fun of the president all day long. This occurred on a weekend where Jerry Seinfeld did a podcast. Jerry Seinfeld has never really spoken politically about a lot, but we would assume that a Jewish guy in Hollywood, most Jewish guys in Hollywood are Democrats. They're in a union. Larry David is co-creator of Seinfeld. Everybody knows Larry David is about as wackadoodle left as anybody you've ever met. Like, he's insanely, he's got Trump derangement. I mean, Larry David's wacko left, like insane left. But totally politically incorrect with his comedy. Jerry Seinfeld's doing this interview, and he comes out and blames the extreme left and the PC crap going on in America today for killing comedy on television. He's talking specifically here about sitcoms, saying sitcoms are dead because you can't make jokes anymore.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. Mm-hmm. We know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
Have you had that experience?
No.
Because isn't that what Curb is all about?
Yeah. Larry was grandfathered in. He's old enough that I don't have to observe those rules because I started before you made those rules.
That's right. Larry David could still do it on Curb Your Enthusiasm because he's so old that it's grandfathered in. He was doing this stuff before you said he couldn't. It's grandfathered in. Well, Seinfeld all but retired after his show, except for stand-up. He's got a movie coming out on Netflix that looks cute. I'd kind of like to see it. I don't have Netflix, but I'm thinking about getting it. Think about caving. It looks like there's a lot of really great stuff on there. So he's got a movie coming out, but he's saying, look, comedy is dead. The only place you can do what comedians and comedy writers are good at, the only place you can do it is stand-up comedy. And it's all live and it's real. And that's where people are pushing the envelope and saying funny things, but nobody else is allowed to be funny. And I think that's true. It's absolutely true. Seinfeld has nailed it again. And we got to ignore the left and the PC crap. Take anything away from this podcast today. There are four stories right there in a row. We've got to stop thinking and living the way they want us to. We've got to stop speaking the way they want us to. We have to say the truth. We have to be honest. And we have to be smarter about our own lives. Whether it's something as dangerous as not recognizing a dangerous situation, because we're told, oh, don't think those 15-year-old kids in the hoodies with backpacks are dangerous. That's racist. No, it's not. Get away. Whether it's, oh, you've got to run a woman or a minority on the ticket with Trump. No, you don't. You could run the best person. The best person, the best human on the planet to run with Donald Trump is Ron DeSantis. And it's not close. It's not close. Now, it's a shame if you can't get elected doing that. But we have to start doing. We have to start recognizing this is right and we're going to do what's right. And in the end, that will work, that will win, that will save America. And somebody on television needs to do a sitcom that makes us a little uncomfortable, which is how it all started. Way back in the day, sitcoms were they were funny, but they were easy. The Dick Van Dyke Show or things like that. And then along came All in the Family. And we brought in some really hilarious stuff that made people cringe a little bit. And you're like, oh, boy, that's pushing the envelope. And then there was a long history of that. You can go back and watch Seinfeld episodes from the 90s or even Friends from the early 2000s, and they say things on there that you can't say today. And thankfully, I'm watching the replays of them, reruns of them, and they're not cutting them out. They're not editing that stuff out. Two and a Half Men was like one of the most sexist comedies ever. It was downright dirty in the stuff they got away with. But it was funny as heck. They made fun of everyone and everything on that show. Can't do it anymore. Can't do it. The only show I can think of now that's like a sitcom that that a lot of people watch is or typical of what sitcoms used to be is a show called The Neighborhood. And I don't know the actors' names. Cedric the Entertainer stars in this. But all the jokes are about his neighbor who's white. So the jokes are okay. We're making fun of the white guy next door. It's just not the same. And they're pointing this stuff out, and they're absolutely right. Our final today brought to you quickly here by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Dr. Anna Everson is now the official dentist of the Kansas City Current. There, all the ladies, the Current, are going into NKC Dental. That's pretty cool. We know all the Chiefs players and staff go there and see Dr. Bush. A whole team of dentists at North Kansas City Dental, they would welcome you as a new patient. 816-471-2911. Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside. Do not wait 6 weeks. If your doctor says, we're not sure what this is, go get a scan done. Get it done this week at Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimagekS.com. And Earth Effects Outdoor is online at eeoutdoor.com. They specialize in hardscapes, but of course they do all your landscaping too. They can do spring cleanup for you. They can do weeding, mulching, trimming, planting trees, all kinds of stuff. They are rock stars when it comes to hardscapes, fire pits, outdoor patios, bars, kitchens, you name it. They do it all. Retaining walls, drainage, ponds, water features, lights, eeoutdoor.com. Our final is Titanic history made over the weekend. Titanic sank in 1912 when it hit that iceberg. And when it did, a man named John Jacob Astor IV was the richest man on the ship. He was a New York businessman and real estate developer. Sounds like he was Trump. Richest guy on the ship in 1912. His wife, Madeline, was pregnant on that cruise as they were headed home to New York from Southampton in England. The ship is going down. It's going down. It's going down. We all know there were only enough lifeboats, basically for women and children. And I don't think all of them got on lifeboats. Could be wrong. So John Jacob Astor did what happened in those times. He stood bravely on the edge, helped his pregnant wife, Madeline, onto the boat. He stepped back. He lit a cigarette. He tossed his gloves to her and said goodbye. He found a friend who was an author. They smoked their last cigarettes, went down with the ship into the water, and both died. His body was recovered. When it was, they found a gold pocket watch. And it was a nice pocket watch, as he was the richest man on the ship. The gold pocket watch has bounced around for 112 years. It's been in the family. It's been here. It's been there. They decided to auction it off this weekend. There were other items from the Titanic there, including a bag, a suitcase, some other things like that. The pocket watch was believed to go for somewhere around $189,000. John Jacob Astor lived in a different time, an era where there was nobility in helping your wife onto that boat, smoking your last cigarette with a friend, and going down, knowing death is imminent. The pocket watch was auctioned off for $1.489 million. Wow. People love Titanic relics. This was not something that was buried at the bottom of the ocean. This was recovered off of his body way back in 1912. Almost 1.5 million. Pretty cool. And as I tell that story, and as I read that story over the weekend, how can you not think of yourself in that spot? Ladies that are listening, you can even think of yourself in her spot. Because I don't know which is worse. Being pregnant, going onto a lifeboat, off a sinking ship and waving goodbye to your husband, knowing he's going to die, not knowing anything about your future or even whether or not you're going to live, and trusting complete strangers to help you. Or the man who waves goodbye to his wife and tosses his gloves to her onto the ship, onto the lifeboat, steps back with his friend and smokes their last cigarette, and down they go. I can't imagine either scenario. Maybe that's why we are so fascinated with the Titanic. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to KKHI. If you'd like to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron. We'd love to have you. If you sign up this week, I'll forward you the newsletter that I wrote on Saturday. I'll just forward it to you. If you get signed up this week, I'll forward it right to you. Then you'll get every newsletter each week going forward. Last week, we did 4 patron podcasts and a newsletter. premium content. It's available if you want to sign up for $5.99 a month at kkhasissues.com. It only takes 2 or 3 minutes. We would love to have you on board, and I'll forward you the newsletter if you sign up this week at kkhasissues.com.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.